This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Ed O'Hare. Ed is Senior Vice President for Koniag Development Corporation. Ed, welcome to the show.
Hello, Roger. So good to see you again. It really is.
Yes. Ed, by way of introduction, was a colleague of mine at GSA and has been out in the private sector for many years now. Ed, today we're going to talk a little bit about Koniag and what its place is in the federal marketplace, what you guys offer, that sort of thing. So why don't you introduce the listeners to Koniag Development Corporation?
And thank you, Roger, and thanks for this opportunity just to talk about Koniag Development Corporation. So Koniag Development Corporation, or KDC, is a wholly owned subsidiary of Koniag, Inc. Koniag, Inc. is one of the 13 regional Alaska Native corporations that was established under the terms of the 1971 Native Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Now, the purpose of that act was to resolve issues surrounding land claims up in Alaska for the natives in Alaska, throughout Alaska. And it was one to settle the land claims and to stimulate development throughout Alaska.
So what Koniag, KDC, let's call it KDC.
KDC is good, yeah.
I can say that a lot easier, I guess. I don't know. But can you tell us about KDC and what it does within the Koniag family?
Sure. KDC operates as Koniag's business arm. That is, that it invests in companies who have high potential for growth and return for our shareholders
Who are the Alaska Natives, right?
The Alaska Natives, right, who are tribal members of the Koniag Incorporated Corporation. It manages most of its business operations and its real estate holdings. Those businesses vary from government contracts to telecommunications, real estate, construction. I'm personally responsible for the technology sector, which is my background. You mentioned we had worked together. I've been in and out of government for more than 30 years.
So tell us a little bit about what the technology sector is with regard to KDC.
Exactly. There's four companies in the technology sector, and I actually hold another title. I'm a senior vice president for KDC, but I am the president and CEO of each one of these companies. That's the corporate structure. So the first one is Koniag Services. This is one of our most senior companies and one of our biggest. They specialize in agency-level data center operations and help desk support. That'd be levels 1 through 3 help desk. And we have a very, very nice specialty in providing assistive technology, hardware, and software integration for individuals, be it federal employees, who need and use that technology. My GM, the guy who runs that company, is my senior GM, is Eric Harris.
Okay.
Good man in Eric Harris. The next, probably about the same most senior company, is Frontier Systems Integrators. They're out of Fairfax. Their biggest, broadest capability is security. And by security, I mean physical security. But I have a vision for them, and I'm fairly passionate about this. We're starting to move out on that. They really are good, competent perimeter security. We do some personal security. We're going to build on that and put information security on top of that, really to build out a totally integrated security practice. Now, to that end.
So when you say perimeter security, you're talking about buildings?
I'm talking about the buildings. If you got a SCIF, we know how to build. We know how to manage and operate SCIFs. The perimeter, the physical building, as well as the entry and the access to the building, the monitoring of that 7x24, very, very, very highly secure buildings. I mentioned SCIFs and those types of things.
And your vision is?
Well, again, total integrated security. Let's secure the building.
Okay.
Let's secure the people in that building, make sure the people who are coming or going are authorized and certified to get into that building. Maybe HSPD 12 is a good way to think about that. And then make sure the security that comes in and out that's using that building is, in fact, secured. Information assurance.
Sure. Okay.
That kind of thing.
Cybersecurity,
Cybersecurity.
Right?
That's a good way to talk to it. Just hired a new GM to implement that vision. Again, real happy. Started Monday.
Okay.
So a few days ago, Jim Fraley. Jim's got a great background. He's done the physical security. He's retired military, 82nd Airborne.
Oh, wow.
So he understands about security, but he spent 15 years in the information assurance business. And so just a great find, and I'm real excited to have Jim.
Okay. Tell us about your other companies.
Okay, PCR, or Professional Computing Resources. This company is actually out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. I was just up there last week. We actually have written and sell a piece and support a piece of software, Comet.
Right.
Comet's all about enterprise-level technology management tool. In other words, you got all this technology in your enterprise. You've got PCs, you've got phones, you got cabling, particularly cabling, router switches. Well, where is it? And where does it go to? And then, you know, when something breaks, where's the fault tolerance and all that stuff? A lot of investment. And that's what Comet does for us.
Okay. All right. And, well, and is this where you do software as a service, or how?
Well, I think you're talking about cloud, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about cloud.
Why don't you just tell the audience a little bit about your background with cloud when you're back in GSA and what you were doing.
Right. Well, my last gig or job at GSA, I was the Assistant Commissioner for Information Technology Services. As such, I ran the IT schedule, I ran the networks program, I ran their IT GWAX. That would be Alliant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here I am doing a commercial for GSA. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. But anyway.
No. It's all part of the discussion today, Ed.
We all know about the push for cloud in the government today. And GSA had a large role in that.
Mm-hmm.
And given my job, I participated in that very real well. Back then it was Sonny Bagwalia, Dave McClure, running those out of office. We worked very closely with those guys to help to implement their vision and the administration's vision for cloud services. It was interesting. It was a little leading edge, and it was just good. Now, in the case of the job I have now, Comet, it's a perfect example of where you need to and where you should go with cloud.
Okay.
Which is to say, not everything necessarily goes to the cloud. Sometimes it's the functionality that the application delivers. Sometimes it's the security around the information that's part of that application. A lot of factors. But clearly, Comet, which is your traditional client-server application right now, we made Paul Bowles, who's GM, even before I got to the company, saw the need to convert that to cloud, and we'll be done before this year's up. And that's good. This is just a good place where cloud's the right answer.
Right. Just to keep on that sort of theme, it's something where what you're sort of saying is one size doesn't fit all, and that there are some applications or service software that lends itself better to a cloud than not.
Well, we're developing to the cloud. We're not getting rid of our old product or old client-server product. There may be customers or instances or implementations where that's the right thing to do. But you want to do business with this kind of software today in this environment, you got to have a cloud offering or SaaS, software as a service offering. And that's what we're doing. It'll make it easier to implement. It'll mean our customers won't have to make as much of capital investment to implement it, or buy a per seat license. All those things are really good things.
I think one of the things that I've talked about a little bit is that in that investment, with regard to cloud versus buying everything yourself and maintaining it, there can be cost savings truly from going to the cloud. Right? Am I right?
Well, cost savings, time savings. It can be rather remarkable. Again, I won't do commercials, but I'll talk about back when I was at GSA. I was part of a CRM implementation, your traditional big scale thing. Took months, maybe years, and did not yield much. Last time I was at GSA, we decided to try to take a shot at CRM with a cloud offering, and boy, it took a few months and not much money at all. It was all credit card money, again, for a half a dozen or so implementations. Mm-hmm. And I had to pinch myself and say, was it really this easy and this cost-effective? And that was a case where it was truly the right thing to do.
Right. And okay, so why don't we turn to a little bit your fourth company, I guess, and I think your newest?
Exactly. That would be Koniag Technology Solutions. And it's a company, with your permission, I'd like to focus and expand on a little bit today.
Sure.
Okay. So it's our newest. It's still in the 8A program. Again, of the four companies, two of them are still in the 8A. That would be PCR and Cognac Technologies. Frontier mm-hmm. and KSI have all graduated.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. that's good. I mean, that can be a challenge in of itself.
Right, but that's the purpose of the program,
that's
right?
That's the purpose of the program, to grow and sustain. Newest company, it's still in 8A, I mentioned. Again, you know, new leadership. I just brought a new general manager in to run that company. Kevin Rizzaghi, gentleman mm-hmm. I worked through in the industry throughout the years. Kevin's got a very, very capable vice president, Phil Simons. I want to talk a little bit about what Phil's been able to do. And again, it's a small company, and we have a very, very focused offering.
That's okay, well, why don't we leave it right there? Because right now we have to take a break, Ed, but when we return, we'll be talking more with Ed O'Hare, Senior Vice President for Cognac Development Corporation. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Government year-end is fast approaching. Look to GSA Advantage and the Han Company now and anytime you're challenged with a compressed time frame or to do more but spend less. Now more than 400 of Han's newest and top models are available online and at great manufacturer direct prices. You'll find multi-purpose chairs, smart desk solutions, durable storage cabinets, contemporary conference tables, and more to fit any office need. All meet or exceed government sustainability requirements, too. To shop Han Direct, go to gsaadvantage.gov and type Han's contract number 27F, like furniture, 0015S, like Sam, in the search bar. That's 27F0015S. When you need office furniture, GSA Advantage is a quick, safe way to buy online, and Han lets you stretch your budget without compromising quality or style. Buy Han Direct. Go to gsaadvantage.gov and search contract 27F0015S today.
Federal News Radio is a proud partner of FEA, the Federal Employees Education and Assistance Fund. In the past 25 years, FEA has helped more than 21,000 federal families with over $18 million in aid. By donating just $1 per pay period, you can help federal families keep the lights on, clean up after a natural disaster, or send a kid to college. Keep your CFC dollars in the federal family and make your pledge to FEA 11185 today. Learn more at FEA.org. That's FEEA.org.
I'm on a mission to spread the word about COPD through music. COPD stands for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. My grandfather suffered from symptoms of it, and COPD is the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus, and I drive for COPD. Looks like people are starting to get the message. Anyone age 35 and older who has smoked as little as 100 cigarettes could be at risk. Visit driveforcopd.com today and talk to your doctor.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
A collection of almost 70,000 pages of papers belonging to the Founding Fathers will soon be online, thanks to a new agreement between the National Archives and the Virginia Endowment for the Humanities. The transcriptions of the historical documents have not been published in print before. The agreement NARA signed will provide $2.5 million over 3 years to make the papers of John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, James Madison, and George Washington accessible online before they're published in print.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology. Information technology and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
The March of Dimes in AFSC Inova will honor women in the tech field who make a difference in their communities at the 11th annual Heroines in Technology Gala, Friday, October 21st at the Hyatt Regency Reston. From CEOs to entrepreneurs, these women exemplify volunteerism in our community. 20 finalists will be recognized and winners will be announced in five award categories, including the AFSCA International Government Award. Government finalists include Chief Kathy Lanier of the D.C. Metro Police Department and Catherine Hollis of the Defense Logistics Agency. In addition to the award presentation, the event will have a live and silent auction and a live band. To learn more about the nominees and to purchase tickets, please visit marchofdimes.com/metrodc. Proceeds will benefit the March of Dimes and its fight to prevent birth defects, premature birth, and infant mortality.
Retirement is expensive. Hi, I'm Mark Tabron. Join me for an informative dinner seminar on October the 18th at Mrs. K's Toll House Restaurant in Silver Spring. We'll talk about ways to help you disaster-proof your retirement. Call 1-800-783-1564 to make a reservation. Seating is limited, so call now. 1-800-783-1564. And join me on Saturday mornings at 10:30 for how to protect and grow your money on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
How can federal agencies drive performance in a cutback climate? What are the latest best practices for maximizing efficiency in federal programs? Join HUD Secretary Sean Donovan and hundreds of federal managers to learn how to achieve more with less at Excellence in Government, the Efficiency Imperative, on November 17th in Washington, D.C. Register today to save 35% at www.excelgov.com.
Federal News Radio in a Web 2.0 world. Find Federal News Radio on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio or join the Federal News Radio group on Facebook. Chat with our team and make connections with others in the federal arena. Email us at fnrcomment@federalnewsradio.com. Visit our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're talking to Ed O'Hare. Ed is the Senior Vice President for Koniag Development Corporation, and we've been talking about what Koniag offers in the marketplace, cloud computing. And when we went on break, Ed was going to, well, you were about to tell us a little bit about Koniag Technology Solutions, which is your newest company. So tell us a little bit about that.
Right, Koniag Technology Solutions, or I'm going to say KTS again.
Okay, KTS, it's easier to say.
Rolls off the tongue a lot easier, Roger. Anyway, KTS is my smallest company, my newest company, and one of the companies that is still in the 8A program. They're very focused. That is to say, they're focused on providing a set of services to the federal CIO, specifically portfolio management items. So what does that mean?
You asked the question I was going to. So you can answer your own question, Ed. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was a CIO for different parts of my career. I was a CIO at the Federal Supply Service, and then after that, the Federal Acquisition Service. And portfolio, and I grew up as a technologist, as a programmer, and a network administrator, that kind of thing. And to be perfectly honest, I think when portfolio management started introducing itself into the CIO's realm of responsibility, it wasn't what I wanted to focus on as the CIO. But I did learn very quickly that if I didn't pay attention to it, I was going to get in trouble. Which is to say, so what do I mean by why do we do portfolio management? If you do good, smart portfolio management as a CIO, that means you're going to get the most out of every IT dollar you're appropriated or allocated or that you earn. And it's also going to mean that you meet the OMB requirements for justifying IT expenditures. The IT budget is a huge line item. Dollars a year, that's a lot of money. And we've all heard about these large system initiatives that cost tens of millions or maybe even billions of dollars that yield real no benefits to the investment.
Okay, so Ed, so what are you, when you're managing the portfolio, what are you managing?
Okay. You're managing the money and the schedule and the functionality that implementation is supposed to deliver.
Okay. So it doesn't go to essentially figuring out what you want to buy. It's like managing after you've made that decision for what the requirements will be.
It's managing the money.
Okay.
Over time.
Okay.
And that money actually accomplishes what it was meant to accomplish. Or in the IT world, the system delivers the functionality it was designed to deliver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, that's a very formalized practice. OMB wants you to report it. I mean, OMB has a responsibility making sure the budget is spent effectively. And KTS, and my people in KTS,
right,
know how to do both of those things around IT projects. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, by working in that work, go ahead.
No, my question was, Ed, you're taking over the show. No, I'm just kidding. So is this akin to earned value management system?
EVM's part of it.
Okay.
Can be part of it, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what little I know, Ed, about that. So if you want to expound on that, go right ahead.
Right. Well, you mentioned EVM. It's CPIC. That's a good question. What does it mean? Like, so we have different customers. We're engaged in about a half a dozen federal agencies. And what we've learned, and I'm going to go ahead and give credit where credit is due right now. This is Phil Simons. I mentioned Phil is my VP for KTS. It's great to have passionate, experienced, intelligent employees. And Phil's absolutely one of those people. I would have loved, if Phil had worked for me when I was a CIO, my life would have been much better, and I would have been viewed as a much more effective CIO.
Well, okay, you can say that about yourself. That's okay.
No, I can, and that's true. But anyway, Phil loves this business. He knows the business. He's even passionate about it. And what he's understood and what now KTS understands is a lot of people do it a different way. So there's a lot of different – every customer is different, and that's fine, and that's good, and we realize that, and our job's not to make them all be the same. But what Phil came up with the idea is that we KTS and Koenig needed to invest, and we should stand up a center of expertise around portfolio management.
Okay.
And that is exactly what we've done in KTS.
Okay. And you said you've got six different engagements with the federal government?
About a half a dozen. Federal customers.
Right. And what have you learned from those engagements that
– first we learned – but they're all different.
Right.
Yeah, they all come from a different way. They have different things. And that's fine. But again, what we brought out of it, the center of expertise, the goal is to create a center, and we have a mission where we can identify, adopt, promote, sustain industry best practices, processes, expertise, and knowledge, combine that all in a central library repository, and make that available no cost to all of our clients and our own people ourselves, who work across in different engagements. Six different engagements. We have employees who may never meet each other, but they do the same thing. We're all learning good things. We're doing good things. We want to identify, adopt best industry practices, processes, documents, case studies, you name it. Identify them, bring them together, collect them, and make them available to all of our employees and all of our clients.
So that's your KTS Portfolio Management Center of Excellence?
Exactly.
Okay.
And it is up and running. And it's a growing entity. Again, it's new.
Okay.
It's available to all our customers. We've established an advisory board. These are not Koenig employees. These are our clients and some industry experts that will help us keep current. And we've invested in some collaboration tools, again, so both our employees and our clients can get access to this library.
Okay.
It's new. Okay, we were gathering the documents. Again, I mentioned it's growing. We're still collecting the artifacts. We're reviewing, promoting the guidelines, the standards, and I'm just real excited about it. I think it's that point where when we are interfacing with clients and potential clients, we can do more than past experience. We can do more than quals. We can say we have this asset that we can bring along with our people that should benefit everybody.
Excellent. Well, Ed, right now we've reached the end of our second segment, so we have to take a break. But when we return, we'll be talking more with Ed O'Hare, Senior Vice President for Koenig Development Corporation. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Government year-end is fast approaching. Look to GSA Advantage and the Han Company now and anytime you're challenged with a compressed time frame or to do more but spend less. Now more than 400 of Han's newest and top models are available online and at great manufacturer direct prices. You'll find multi-purpose chairs, smart desk solutions, durable storage cabinets, contemporary conference tables, and more to fit any office need. All meet or exceed government sustainability requirements, too. To shop Han Direct, go to gsaadvantage.gov and type Han's contract number 27F, like furniture, 0015S, like Sam, in the search bar. That's 27F0015S. When you need office furniture, GSA Advantage is a quick, safe way to buy online, and Han lets you stretch your budget without compromising quality or style. Vihon Direct. Go to gsaadvantage.gov and search contract 27F0015S today.
A lot of people complain about work, but thanks to Ability One, countless Americans who are blind or have significant disabilities love going to work every day. Ability One is a federal program that creates job opportunities for people who are blind or have significant disabilities. It's one of the best examples of a public-private partnership that creates jobs for the largest untapped labor force in the country without putting additional pressure on the federal taxpayer. To learn more, visit AbilityOne.org.
Computers are a wonderful tool, but every day children are sexually solicited online. Protect your kids online. Visit cybertipline.com. Help delete online predators.
Hi, I'm Congressman Jerry Connolly. I want your children to be safe online. Talk with your kids about online safety. Know who is communicating with your child.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Arming your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070. Ackerman.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
There are barbecue double burgers with mayo and bacon and cheese. There are 60-inch HD plasmas with cinema surround and 3D. There are mandatory conference calls at 8 p.m. on Saturdays. There are really comfortable overstuffed sofas that recline and vibrate and have cup holders and coolers built right in. And there are people who will sneeze right out in the open as if their germs were made of gold and the rest of the world just can't wait to share. Ah! There are moments when it feels as if the whole world is conspiring against your health, which is why there is Kaiser Permanente. We can be a partner. We can be a friend. A voice of moderation in a world gone excess and insane. So the next time you're faced with the choice between a televised marathon of vapid vixens or the chance to get a little fresh air, visit everybodywalk.org and we'll be there to help you thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does 3 decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
It's not always easy to know when a person is agitated or excited. Sometimes you may not even know when you are. So a new wearable device has been engineered to detect stress, bad or good. The sensor looks like a wristwatch but records movement, temperature, and small changes in electric currents on your skin triggered by emotion. Rosalind Picard of MIT's Media Lab is the lead inventor.
It changes with things that are changing in your brain, and you wouldn't think that information would show up on your wrist, but some of it does.
The device can help you and others understand what stresses and relaxes you. For example, people may have doubts when you say walking back and forth helps calm you down.
But when they see the signal plummet when you pace, they say, wow, that pacing looks like it's helping you. I'm not going to tell you to stop pacing anymore.
Currently, the sensor is mainly used for various research projects, but it could be available to the general public in a year. To find out more, go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hey, this is Amtower, host of Amtower Off-Center. Start your week off with a dose of reality, Amtower style, Monday afternoons at noon, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you want to know what it takes to do business with the federal government, my show is required listening. I've been around the block, and I call it like I see it. That's Amtower Off Center, Monday afternoons at noon, here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, we're talking to Ed O'Hare. Ed is the Senior Vice President for Koniag Development Corporation, and we've been talking a little bit about Koniag's services and what it provides in the marketplace, a little bit about Ed's background, and I think right now we're going to turn to a little bit about the IT marketplace and how things have changed or haven't changed. And Ed, you know, your background, you spent 30 years or so, I mean, I don't want to age you, but in government and in the private sector, in this federal IT marketplace. And, you know, just what do you see as, from your perspective over that long career, as sort of the biggest changes or things that you see with regard to the acquisition of IT from when you started to today?
Sure, Roger. Again, not to date myself.
Big question, I know. So.
It was more like 40 years.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But well, you know, I could say, I know our listeners can't see you, but you know what? You look better than I thought then. Okay.
There you go. Wow. I spent most, you're right. I mean, I've worked in those 30 years.
Right.
I've retired three times from the government. Okay.
Yeah. And which you keep coming back.
I keep coming back. Last time I came back, Jim Williams called me a yo-yo,
okay.
You know, or boomerang or something, some such device. But anyway, when I retired, I really didn't retire, stop working. I left government and went into private industry.
Sure.
So this is my third foray into private industry and the fourth company, not government company, I've worked for. You know, some of those, all my time in federal government has been with GSA, most all of it within the technology sector, literally going back to when you were writing COBOL programs and and that kind of stuff. So I've pretty much seen it all. I've worked for a large integrator, Beltway integrator, and now, like I said, I manage these four companies, and I actually was a VP for an 8A as well. So I have seen both sides of the transaction, as it were. But you did ask me what was the biggest technology advance. Certainly.
Or just the biggest change. Like, I think one of the things, I guess I'll rephrase the question and just ask you, you know, it seems to me, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this, is that the pace of technology and the changes in the development of new products, services, capabilities, whatever, just the momentum and technological change that's out there, at the same time, you know, the acquisition process has there's been reforms and trying to streamline the process. Now we're in a phase where we're making it more difficult to buy, in my opinion. Doesn't marry up, does it?
Not at all. And I actually, my own view of it is technology's on one cycle and acquisitions on a different kind of cycle, and I'll explain that, and I'll do some analogies. You know, so technology moves forward. Mm-hmm. It continually gets better, well, depending on how you apply it, but it gets more efficient, it gets faster, it gets more ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm. Can do more things,
you know, we all walk around with our PDAs, our phones.
Right.
I mean, I go on travel, I don't even travel with my laptop anymore because I don't need to.
Right.
I got my tablet device.
Sure.
And all that stuff. It's just got more mobile. We're more connected all the time. So it's just technology is constantly moving forward. Bandwidth is getting larger and larger and larger. You can do more and more things. I was amazed. I get amazed. There's one commercial that continues to amaze me. It's for a little cell phone. They talk about the high resolution TV you can watch on your cell phone. Well, TV's supposed to be big,
but the
fact that they can do that. So again, technology is a straight line moving forward. I've always seen acquisition as a pendulum, interestingly enough.
Yeah.
And it's a pendulum, I don't know, that goes from reform and I'm going to use words like common sense and reform.
Right.
And
streamline,
whatever.
Commercial acquisition.
Yeah, yep. And then, you know, it gets so far there and things kind of get done very quickly, but then inevitably something happens. There's a scandal or, you know, and there's just bad things happen, and the pendulum starts to come the other way, and acquisition gets more burdensome.
Right.
It gets harder to do. It's slower. And again, I was in GSA, but I was the CIO for GSA.
Yeah.
So I bought a lot of technology, I sold a lot of technology, and it was awfully frustrating to go from that acquisition pendulum when you could make, like I said, a common sense decision to buy something, justify it, and move forward quickly, to some of the things we do nowadays. And again, I'll go, I won't throw stones at anybody else, but I got extremely frustrated when I was assistant commissioner at ITS about the amount of time it took us to award contracts.
Yes.
I understood it.
Right.
And I would, one of my goals, that was maybe my main goal, was to do it better, but it's not, given all the rules, the regulations, the reviews, I'm not saying, going to say it's impossible. I'm sure there are people who will eventually get to it.
Right. But, you know, one has to wonder when you stop and think about it, because listening to you sort of made me think back and think about, you know, in the early to mid-90s, the government used to do these huge single award IDIQ contracts where you buy this technology, and when it take you 2 years to award the contract. The day after you award the contract, you are modding the contract to get rid of all the technology upon which the proposal was evaluated to put the stuff that had replaced it. It was purely almost a fiction, frankly. And I'm just wondering that, you know, and that's at a time 20 years ago where the pace of technology change, I don't think, was quite as rapid as it is now, fast things change. So he almost wonders whether, even though there are more streamlined processes, whether the gap is greater now than it was then or not. I'm not sure myself.
Well, I think it's greater.
You do, okay.
I think it's because the speed of I think it's Murphy's Law.
Murphy's Law is like everything goes wrong, right?
There's a law in IT about right? It's not Murphy's Law. The capability of technology increases
or doubles or whatever.
X number of years. Clearly, acquisition hasn't kept up with that at all.
Right.
I think that's some of the move behind the cloud.
Right.
Again, cloud is all about not having to provision all that hardware, not having to provision that software. You're essentially buying a seat license for something you connect to through the network. But the fact is, you still got to buy it.
All right.
Again, I ran GSA's first cloud BPA offering. That took way too long.
Right.
And I can't blame a single person or a single thing.
It's just the process.
The process. Right.
I hear you. I mean, it seems to me, though, with the cloud, too, one of the benefits you might have is that you don't invest in all that stuff you have to own, and it may be you rely on the contractor to be able to change with the technology, change the service with the tech. It might be easier to do that. Is that part of one of the goals of it?
You use the analogy that years ago you would buy something and take you 2 years, and you have to mod the contract. Now, when you buy a cloud service, you're buying the most advanced capability they have the day you begin using it.
Right.
Maybe
right.
It was a couple of revisions later when you started the acquisition, but the day you sign up and pay for it, you're buying the greatest, latest.
Because you're buying the service, whatever it is,
Buying the mail service.
Right. Exactly. And it's whatever that entails. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as they improve their service across the spectrum, you get the benefits of that.
Well, that leads me to my next question about that. What if, based on what you had to do in government versus what you have to do now in the private sector, if you could change something in the process, is there one thing you'd point to, or is it just generally to find ways to streamline it?
I'm not a contract officer. I never was.
Right.
Although, like I said, my last job in GSA, I think I had 400 or 500 of them working for me.
Right.
But it was in the IT sector, so I knew something about it. I couldn't get to the nuts and bolts, but what I told my contracting staff was, when we have a project, when we have a commitment, I'm going to ask you how long it's going to take.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you how long it should take. I'm going to ask you how long. And when we tell industry it's going to take you 3 months to get it done, then, boy, we better get it done in 3 months. I think that's what you want when you're in business.
Right.
You want to be able to plan reliably.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to take 3 months, fine, it's going to take 3 months. I'll plan my resources. I'll plan my work accordingly. But when you tell me 3 months and it takes 6 months, I'm reporting to a board of directors. We're tracking this opportunity, and we think we're well positioned, and we think the award's supposed to be done, you know, in October, and we're sitting in March, and it still hasn't been made.
Yeah, it's that uncertainty. It's one thing I've heard since I left government is, uncertainty and expectations are key to business, being able to plan, because uncertainty costs money. And right, because time gets extended, contingencies.
Particularly for small businesses, we can't afford to keep staff on the beach, because we know if and when we get this award, the customer is going to want some people in place in 30 days.
Right, right. So, and speaking of budgets, we have to take a break right now.
Okay.
So when we come back, we'll be talking more with Ed O'Hare, Senior Vice President for Koniag Development Corporation, and we'll talk some more about the federal IT marketplace. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Giving you the edge on healthy living, here's Mayo Clinic Medical Edge. When a doctor suspects coronary artery disease, he or she may order a stress test to aid in diagnosis.
Stress tests can provide that evidence that there is a problem with blood flow.
Dr. Ray Gibbons, a Mayo Clinic cardiologist, says a routine stress test, an exercise electrocardiogram, is a good first step, but
it is not as sensitive as imaging tests, so it may not pick up all the disease that a stress imaging procedure may identify.
A nuclear stress test is where a tiny amount of radioactive material is injected and then monitored on a special scanner. An echocardiogram uses sound waves to get pictures. Both tests take a little longer, but can provide more detail to help determine an appropriate treatment plan. For more information, talk with your doctor or visit mayoclinic.org. I'm Vivian Williams.
On the move but need your CAPS info? CAPS Mobile lets you use your mobile phone to stay connected to the CAPS. Receive breaking news and special offers by text message. Check live scores and stats with the CAPS Mobile app. Enter Text to Win contest for great CAPS prizes and much more. To join the CAPS Mobile Club, text CAPS to 43803 now. For more info on all CAPS Mobile offerings, visit the Fan Zone section of WashingtonCAPS.com. Stay CAPS connected with CAPS Mobile.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, nutrition, dietary supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources at myvillagegreen.com. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane.
Three things to know about the proposed merger of AT&T and T-Mobile. With the planned merger, AT&T will invest $8 billion more and deploy the next generation of wireless internet to nearly everyone in America. This investment will create as many as 96,000 American jobs. We're not investing to create jobs, but jobs will be created because we're investing. AT&T.
Efforts are ramping up
as agencies will close nearly 200 data centers by the end of the year to meet the target of consolidating at least 800 of the government's 2,000 centers. In March, the Data Center Consolidation Task Force will publish government-wide best practices to include management of private, public, and traditional data centers. Join FCO Bethesda October 14th at the Bethesda North Marriott for an early report on the future of data center consolidation. Register today at fcobethesda.org/octbreakfast.
Connect with Federal News Radio wherever you are. Like us on Facebook to see the hottest news stories on your wall. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio. Download our free iPhone app. Just go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio. And now, connect to the radio station straight from your cell phone. Just call 712-432-6616. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for social media for details.
Mike Causey on Federal News Radio.
I would rather give an ostrich a pedicure than play this.
Your turn with Mike Causey, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. only on Federal News Radio. Check out Mike's column, The Federal Report, weekdays at federalnewsradio.com, or sign up to have Mike's daily column delivered directly to your email.
You know, they're probably going to find out in 20 years that carrying one of these in your wallet causes your buttocks to fall off.
Mike Causey on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're talking to Ed O'Hare. Ed is the Senior Vice President for Koniag Development Corporation. And when we went on break, we were talking a bit about that technology cycle versus the acquisition cycle. And then, you know, in the federal marketplace, even more, you got the budgetary cycle. Uh-huh. And you put all those three things together, especially to me in the IT world. And it creates quite a challenging environment. Can you talk about your experiences with that, Ed?
Right. And that the same thing. It's planning, predictability, what have you. Now, GSA, you work there, Roger. You're lucky enough you work on a revolving fund.
Right.
So as long as business is good, you don't so much have to deal with that. Although, because GSA works on those fees, you know, when you have a business that customers don't find value in, you have to deal with the hard facts of life.
Right.
And wind down that business. And that's never fun. But anyway, we did sell to the rest of the government, and, mm-hmm. and we were kind of whiplashed by the funding cycle, even at GSA. In the private sector, it's much worse again.
Well, let's take a real life example. This past year, with all the, you know, continuing resolutions and the stops and starts of funding, how does that impact a small business in particular, but any business who deals with the federal marketplace?
Well, it's at risk.
Yeah.
As a government agency, I never ever wanted to put one of my companies at risk.
Right.
You know, I never
wanted.
In fact, I understood I couldn't.
Right.
It was against the law.
Right.
You couldn't ask someone to work unless it was funded.
Right.
But sometimes you got those situations when, you know, the contracting officer hasn't signed the contract. It's in the bottom of the pile.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. Yes, it will be done. That really wreaks havoc again on small businesses. And we've had a bunch of those lately with the CRs, the
right.
continuing resolutions, where the contracting officer will tell you, you know, as soon as I get to it, I am going to extend the contract, your task order.
Right.
But you're working there. You got days, if not hours,
yeah.
and you're not sure what to tell your people. Because
right.
I know, and our my own contracting officer knows that if we don't have a signed task order, it's illegal to have our people report to work.
Right, right.
But then again, you want to do customer service.
Right. It sort of puts you contractors in a difficult
between a rock and a hard place.
But it, you know, as it does, you know, the government folks too, right? I mean, they don't know if they're going to be able to show up for work or not either, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's that uncertainty, the inability to plan. And you know what it does? It drives up cost, unfortunately. Come on. You know?
Yes, it does.
In
yeah.
private industry, how do you deal with risk? You build it into your rates.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
That's the only thing you can do. I mean, if you lose money, you're going to go out of business. So when you're dealing in an uncertain, improbable world, eventually that risk gets translated into higher rates somewhere.
Right, higher cost.
Higher cost.
And that translates into higher cost for the taxpayer,
oh,
right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, just over your career, both private sector and public sector, what can you talk about, you know, what was one of the interesting things you worked on or thing you feel, you know, really sort of that was really rewarding to do?
Two big things jump out. And one of them was a while ago, was GSA Advantage. And this was literally, I think we stood up, when I say we, I mean a colleague of yours, Bill Gormley and myself, a few other, a few people grabbed credit for it, but it really was a few of us who kind of got the idea. I believe it was in 1994. So that was well beyond
Right, and GSA Advantage is GSA's electronic catalog for the GSA Schedules program.
Right, and it's been around since 94, 95. Right. I think we did our first electronic order in 95. That was exciting because it was real leading edge, and it's still around too.
Right.
And it's I know again in my current job, not so much now, but when I was doing more guts about developing proposals and costs in the private sector, I used Advantage as a research tool. You know, not as a government employee, but as a contractor, and so it's a real good place to drive the marketplace. And again, I would look for where my competitors were priced,
right,
and priced myself accordingly. So it was that constant action of driving pricing down.
Right, and it really is. I mean, it's still such a great tool for both government and private. I mean, there's literally thousands of contractors up there and millions, if not tens of
when
millions
of items.
When I
was there, I think it was 17,000 contractors, 20 million items,
right,
all under contract,
right,
all with published pricing and
on that site. So, you know, from something that was launched in 1994 till today, it probably is the number one place to go to learn about the federal sort of commercial marketplace as well. You mentioned your two things. What was the other thing?
Yeah, the second was more recent and certainly most intense and enjoyable. And it's also a great example of where government collaborated with contractors to get a job done. It was the last election cycle presidential transition. So this is the 77 days, and believe me, that's burned into my memory. The Wednesday after the election to the
well, in that case, you had a deadline for sure that you could not exceed, right? You knew you had to have it, right?
Absolutely. And we did.
There were no extensions there, right?
You know, there were no extensions to the day of the election. And you bring in the winning administration. I mean, it's a big job. To take over the federal government, you know, from the standstill. I mean, the day before the election, you know, it was just an amazing piece of work. It was 77 days, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And again, I didn't have a lot of existing staff. I mean, they were back keeping the lights on back at GSA.
Sure.
So I awarded three contracts, one to a veteran. Business, one to a small business, one to a large business, and we collaborated, and it was just, it was a lot of fun because it was intense, and we did a pretty good job.
And
just being around that, you know, it was a little bit outside the norm if you work at GSA anyway.
Sure.
I guess I'm a little homesick because I think, you know, the election cycle is starting up again. Oh, geez.
So that was one of your fond memories, right?
Again, when it was all said and done.
Right. Not while you were going through it, right? It was
fun then, too.
Okay.
It was just edgy. I mean, you didn't want to drop a ball anytime.
No, you could not afford to drop a ball there, right? Whether you were the contractor or the contract administrator.
Yeah, it was like holding your breath for 77 days. So
right.
That's what it was. But we got through it. It was a lot of fun. It was just very fulfilling and gratifying do that.
I
might have said I ran that. I mean, I ran the IT portion of that.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
That's what I did. There were other people, good people.
That you reported to, right?
I'll go ahead and give a shout out. Tim Horn and Gail Lovelace is who I reported up to, and both of those just did an excellent job.
Well, Ed, you've done an excellent job today. I've enjoyed our conversation. I'll have to have you back on the show. But right now, we have to close for the day. This is Roger Waldron, and you're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition of Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.